welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we're able to share this time together. If you're a new listener, we welcome you in Jesus' name. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And I was thinking of a scripture just before I started recording, and that is, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless if you don't feel like it, because if we're honest, we all have to say at one time or another, we did not feel like rejoicing. But nonetheless, God has given us His Word, and as we hear and understand the Word of God, our spirit man is the deciding agency, the ruling force, if you will, in terms of the decisions and choices we make in life. We can either be ruled by our thoughts, our opinions, reason, or by our feelings. And certainly, especially today, we see in the world, everybody is being run by their feelings. But a Christian is called to walk according to the truths of God's Word, our spirit responding to the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God dwells within us as our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost. If we've accepted Jesus, we're saved. And so, beloved, it's a matter of choosing. There are times we may not feel like doing that which we should be doing by the Word of God. Nonetheless, we will praise God. We will rejoice. I'm thinking of Habakkuk. He said, you know, there's no ox in the stall. There's no fruit on the vine. Nonetheless, I will rejoice in the Lord. And so, beloved, regardless of what you're facing today, may God grant you the strength and the grace to be able to rejoice. Rejoice not for the trial or the battle, but to rejoice in it and to know that everything comes to pass. This too shall pass. Your experiences right now, they're going to pass. And what remains is the reality and truth of God's Word. We have to grasp, lay hold of this, beloved, because that's the very thing that motivated Jesus. For the joy set before Him, He was able to endure the shame, the pain, and the humiliation of the cross. So that's a pretty profound spiritual truth. I didn't intend to start the broadcast and go in that direction, but so be it. Lord, have your way. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining me. And we want to continue on in a message I began last week, the power of prevailing prayer. And not only in terms of our own lives, but in terms, because there's crisis, God is dealing with each one of His people very individually and in a very strong way. And He's dealing with this nation, beloved, all the disasters, the fires, the hurricanes, the floods, tornadoes. We have to come to terms with the things that are occurring in our nation, in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones. But God always has an answer, and it's found in His Word. So what we've been looking at is the life of Jacob, who, after having spent 20 years with his uncle Laban, is told by God to return to his father's house. God was faithful to fulfill all that He said. He was blessed. He had family. He only had a staff when he crossed over Jordan, and he was greatly blessed of God. But there was a bit of a problem. His life was in danger, that of his family, his goods, regarding his brother Esau. And so he was wrestling with God, that rather famous story of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And it was very important, not only in terms of Jacob's personal walk with God. He was transformed. He had a name change. His name was changed. The Lord said, you'll no longer be called Jacob, but you will be called Israel. Now, the meaning of that name, Israel, has been subject of much discussion. It may mean persevere with God or soldier of God. He fights or persists with God in prevailing prayer. He will rule as God, prince of God, or striver with God. The important thing is the transformation that occurred in his life. He was no longer the crafty schemer, gifted of God and able to be blessed because of his industry, his talents, his perseverance, as was demonstrated those 20 years with Laban. But he was transformed because of his experience of that one night wrestling with God into a humble, penitent servant of God who can trust himself and all that he has into God's hand. That name Jacob means supplanter. And of course, he had been dependent upon his own resources and his self-effort, his resources. In Genesis 31 and 6, he was talking to his wives, Rachel and Leah, and I'm quoting, "And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." Later, to Laban, he hadn't eaten any of Laban's flocks, that which was torn of beasts, he suffered in loss. And he says, this is a quote, "Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes." It wasn't easy, those 20 years. However, beloved, just as in your life, you know, I'm thinking of that old Negro spiritual, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." Well, I suppose we all could say that. God knows the things we've gone through. And the devil also knows those who are called of God, those who belong to him. And, you know, I mean, why does he bother with the unsaved? He's already got them. But it's when you become a Christian, that's when spiritual warfare really starts. However, for us, as well as for Jacob, God's call and blessings are upon our lives and his life. His efforts, however, had been characterized by duplicity, hard bargaining, strength of character. But he realized at that point in time the limitation of his own ability and his need for a miracle at this point in his life. He was desperate. You know, he is there out of his own desire to return to his homeland and upon the express directive of the Lord, who had appeared to him in a dream while he was yet with Laban. So, as we look at chapter 32 in verse 25, here we see the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. Verse 25 says, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," this is the Lord, "he touched the hollow of his thigh," Jacob's thigh, "and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go," verse 26, "for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." So he was determined to receive from God. He had to have a miracle. And so he is evidencing, as an example to us, such earnestness and intensity, a tenacity, a drive and perseverance that touched the heart of God. He said, I'm not going to let you go. Are we that determined in prayer? Such holy determination, beloved, will never go unblessed. Jesus said, the word of God says, thou shalt find me when thou shalt seek for me with all of your heart. And remember what Jesus said to the woman of Canaan, whose daughter was vexed by a devil in Matthew 15:28. He says, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And she wasn't even of the children of Israel. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And of course, we know that the blessing in that culture, that time was a solemn, sacred oath. It was a custom of their day, and it couldn't be withdrawn. Remember, as Isaac was blessing Esau and Jacob, when Esau was so upset because he had given the blessing of the firstborn to Jacob, he said, his father Isaac said, I can't withdraw it. I've blessed, and he's going to be blessed. Same thing with Jacob in Egypt in Genesis 48, that he pronounces blessings upon his sons. And so, beloved, because of his night-long experience in the Lord, he was transformed. He was changed, as evidenced by the limp, as evidenced by his change of his name. No one else knew it at that time. He knew it. God told him it was a new name. He was a new man. And because of his experience in the Lord, he was able to meet the danger, the difficulty, and the challenge of the following day with the power of faith. He didn't know. I mean, here, all he had was the news. Esau was there with 400 men. Come on now. That's not a welcoming party in the natural. Looks like it's a military advance and exercise, doesn't it? So his actions brought no rebuke from the angel of the Lord. Instead, it was approval and blessing. And he enters into a new relationship with the Lord, signified by a change of name. And a new name is indicative of a new nature. He's called a prince with God, or one powerful with God. Well, beloved, my time has flown, and we're going to look at the significance of this wrestling match. What had occurred? We've seen what occurred, but now why? And this is some very, I mean, if you can, by all means, tune into the broadcast tomorrow. And as always, I say, if you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen, feel free to go over to our website, unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. But tomorrow's broadcast is important. What it means to have power with God and power with man. Praise God. Well, beloved, I love you. I pray for you, my UCM partners, and my radio family every day. And I'm so grateful for the privilege of sharing this time. I constantly pray the Holy Spirit minister to you during our time together. Even if I'm not specifically praying, He knows your needs. But if you need support in prayer, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And if you choose to email, I'll confirm receipt. I'll pray for you. But if you'd like a personal answer, I invite you to share your mailing address. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours. This is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.